Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel. Well, the National Health Service, here I am in England, and talking about the NHS in England, more broadly in the United Kingdom. Now, of course, there's several NHS for Northern Ireland, Wales and Scotland, but it's broadly the same story all across the United Kingdom. Now, the United Kingdom often deludes itself that its health service, or its four separate health services, are the envy of the world. And of course, there are marvellous things about the NHS. Being an NHS patient, very seldom a private patient in the United Kingdom, and often the staff have been magnificent. I've been well treated, they've been courteous. I mean, I can't judge the quality of the actual medicines that are equipped themselves. I'm a complete layman. But there's a lot of good stuff about it. And I like the way that I don't have to worry about the cost of it. And okay, I get a prescription, I go and pay my prescription charge, but it's small. It's, you know, 10 or 20 pounds or something. And it could be the most expensive treatment in the world. I'm not going to pay a penny. It's not going to put me off seeking help, although that might actually be part of the problem. So it was founded just after the Second World War. Nye Bevan, the Labour cabinet minister, and in his constituency of Tredegar in Wales, he'd run something similar on a very local basis. So it was wildly popular, and that really is the UK's national religion. For Maggie Thatcher, Prime Minister in the 80s, a hardline capitalist, this went against the grain of the NHS, but she assured people the NHS is safe in Conservative hands because she knew it would be electoral suicide to say anything else. It was popular even among Conservative voters. But there's this myth that it's starved of resources, and more money is spent in it all the time, in real as well as absolute terms. So whatever the leftist propaganda is, health spending has gone up under the Conservatives by any measure. And yet services are sometimes being cut. I needed physiotherapy the other day, and the doctor was telling me physiotherapy has been cut. Where on earth is the money going? And partly more middle managers. And of course, you can't run an organization of 1.5 million people without a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of human resources managers and so on. Sometimes it's wokery, sometimes it's whatever, anti-racism strategies or trans outreach strategies, or just wasting time or just making things look pretty or whatever. Although I did read about a psychiatrist saying, oh, it's terrible, people are held in a room built in the Victorian era. Why? I mean, it's fit purpose, fine. Just because it was built 150 years ago, that doesn't automatically make it unsuitable. It might be unfit for purpose, I don't know. So Labour came in, they're the party of the trades unions. Now the nurses and the doctors are heavily unionised, and most doctors of the British Medical Association isn't even a prerequisite to be in it. And so it's a bit like Nye Bevan. He knew he'd meet resistance when he sort of tried to get doctors to join. How are we going to stop them bleating that they want the socialised medicine? And Nye Bevan said, stuff their mouths with gold. We'll pay them so much money that the medical professional will accept it. And for decades they did. I do know some doctors who in the Thatcher major years were horrified by the Conservatives, said that they'd ruined the National Health Service. Then Blair came in. Now, to give the devil his due, he did improve it. His 10 years in office, the waiting list came down, treatments improved in all sorts of ways, but it wasn't as enough as improvement as it should have been relative to the amount of money that they were paid. So just, you know, massive salary increases. Of course, nurses, that was warranted. Minimum wages introduced under Blair, and nurses were not much above that, despite being increasingly responsible, despite being, you know, a graduate level, a qualification. I know in the 60s, nurses didn't have to have A-levels to get in on a nursing course, and it wasn't a degree-bearing qualification. Was it from the 80s or the 90s? It was always a degree qualification. Anyway, but, you know, there've been all sorts of problems under the Conservatives. Now, partly after Brexit, 50% of nurses in the United Kingdom from overseas. In doctors, it's lower, it's about 30%. Now, some of those come from the European Union, others not. But previously, they could just get doctors from, you know, Belgium or Poland or wherever, or Greece like that. No need for paperwork, just come. And nurses, dentists, pharmacists, anything. But since Brexit, they can't. And it's a headache to recruit these people. That's increasingly difficult. Obviously, you know, medical staff are recruited from abroad, from Commonwealth countries like Sri Lanka, Malawi, Nigeria, you know, Malaysia, Trinidad, anywhere. And other countries, it could be the United States, it could be China, it could be anywhere in the world. That's much more uncommon. So staffing numbers are a problem. Obviously, there have been strikes aggravating the situation. I mean, a good friend of mine, a consultant psychiatrist, said, you know, I really don't want to strike, but we begged and we pleaded and we warned them and we implored for years and years and years. This was disregarded, that our salaries are falling in real terms, and I'm going to strike. And a patient's diet, it is not my fault. We begged on our knees for justice. And when that is constantly ignored, eventually we had to stand up for ourselves. And the blame is on the Conservative government, is not on the physicians for eventually taking industrial action. I believe until this last Conservative government, there had never been a strike of NHS doctors and nurses, though I could be mistaken about that. And quite a lot of them, Labour came in and say, we're on your side. They're happy that these salary increases, but it hasn't entirely worked. Some of the junior doctors are still not satisfied. There might still be strikes. I think they'd be much more limited. They want to give Labour a chance. Labour's taken the edge off it by these pay rises they introduced almost immediately, but no requirement for an increase in productivity. Yeah, so partly staff numbers, partly because salaries didn't keep pace with inflation. And remember, doctors and nurses who qualified in the last 20 years, they're the first ones to come there with university debt. And people who graduated, say, before 2000 didn't have to pay any university fees. Now, for a while under Labour, nurses didn't have to pay fees. The Conservatives scrapped that and said, no, they didn't even nurses have to pay fees. Well, that's an imbecilic thing to do. They're socially vital. And we're just going to say, let's be frank, some degree courses are just more useful to the general public than others. Someone studying archaeology or media studies, very worthy subject, is it? I don't know, but it doesn't benefit me at all. Medicine, dentistry, pharmacy, nursing, things like that, they do. Architecture, things which are tangibly useful. I studied history, then law, then linguistics. I mean, not actually a lawyer, so useful to the public is minimal. So that's another thing to take into account. There's an idea that it's free at the point of use. You go there, don't pay a penny, and all right, their prescription charges. NHS dentists, you do pay sometimes. NHS glass, you pay very, very low price. But that's not an absolute principle. So maybe they should just get rid of that. In the Republic of Ireland, I've not been to the GP for so long, but you have to pay, is it €50, something like that? A real stumbling block to nationalists in Northern Ireland voting to join the Republic. I remember, was it Colm Eastwood said, his mother said, yes, I'm, you know, a nationalist, but I will not pay to see the GP. So I have to learn from places like France, which does have it, more of a mixed public-private partnership. I remember in the noughties, Conservatives proposing this, say charge people a tenner to see the GP, because they're people who generally need to see the general practitioner, whoever, but there are hypochondriacs, people who just drop in from a chat to deter them. And the Republic of Ireland, where I come from, have a superb medical system. As you pay health insurance, you know, largely through your job. Elderly people don't have to pay, children have to pay, those on the lowest incomes get medical cards, they don't have to pay, but the majority of people have to pay a nominal fee. So maybe we should just do that. And that will deter some time wasters. Some will go straight to the pharmacist for things rather than going to the GP. Could we allow more things to be prescribed without prescription? Even Betnovate for skin irritation, you need that. Now, I realize there are a few hypochondriacs, people with Munchausen syndrome, who claim they have a condition they don't have. And then they'll get medicines or skin creams or whatever that are unnecessary, could even aggravate their situation. Other things, maybe Spanish practices, is reading how surgeons are resisting some robots which can do surgeries faster, obviously far cheaper and more efficient with fewer complications than human beings. And if surgeons don't like it, tough. What matters here is what's beneficial to the patients, not what is beneficial to the vanity of the medical profession. And I am told that robots are going to come in more and more and just far better, certainly doing the simple tasks which require less judgment, less finesse. So maybe we should speed that up. That would be a good thing. If, for example, we decriminalize drugs, obviously people, narcotics is a very stupid thing to do. Why would you poison yourself with heroin or cocaine or whatever? But if people are buying, purer samples, as in less junk in it, they know what they're actually buying. We can never make it safe. We can make it less dangerous, take it under medical supervision, and fewer the harmful consequences that could be brought in as well. You know, more exercise, more cycle lanes, more lifestyle changes take the pressure off the NHS. But I think the United Kingdom should just be a bit more open-minded. I'm willing to learn from countries like France, and I've worked in France with outstanding healthcare, and no, it's not absolutely free, or, you know, most continental countries. So there's this British bigotry, there's this supremacism, there's this childish chauvinism about the NHS. I wouldn't want to go down the American route with exorbitant prices, with health insurance that will cover everything except illness, and poor people no cover, sometimes inadequately covered, no pre-existing conditions, price gouging of life-saving medicines and so on. But there are better models out there. So the UK ought to eat a large portion of humble pie. The Darcy report's been coming out. I don't think Labour will grasp the nettle to do this, because they will be faced such a backlash from the socialists who are just stuck in this Stalinist mindset of one size fits all, state control everywhere, and so on. Form filling up to here, wokery, you know, mutilate children's genitals, spend taxpayers' money murdering children. That's healthcare in their view. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Yeah. Okay. Good night.